We'll flip this on so the sound booth doesn't have a fit back there. Okay, it is great to be here. Before we begin, Leona and I would really like to say thank you. Thank you for the support of the Awana Ministry here in Atlantic Canada. We have been blessed. And as many of you know, this past club year, I had lost my eyesight and could no longer drive. Oh, okay. We'll get to that. And had come to a point where really, we were concerned about what we were going to do and how we were going to be able to continue as Awana missionaries. And praise God, He has answered your prayers. I actually do not need these glasses. If you know and have seen any of the pictures of me, look at a recent prayer card, I wore Coke bottles for glasses. And so I praise God that He has answered prayer through the hands of skillful surgeons and technology, but above all, through God's intervention, I can now drive, I can now see, and you have been a part of that. As you prayed for recovery for my eye sight, and as you have prayed for us over the years. And so we praise God for that. We praise God for the support that you provide through prayer, through encouragement, through all kinds of different ways. You are very much a part of the broader ministry of Awana here in Atlantic Canada. Currently, we have 46 churches that are using Awana and throughout the four provinces. And we are excited about what God is going to do and what God has done over this past years, and looking forward to this club year. Most of the clubs have either started, as yours did this past week, or will be starting within the next couple of weeks. And we truly do believe, as we talked yesterday, I talked a little bit about the value of a soul. And I'm going to hang myself on something here real quick. The value of a soul. Is an adult soul more valuable than a children's or a child's soul? No. There is no difference. We realize that children can come to know Christ as their Savior. We realize that adults can come to know Christ as their Savior. And so my challenge to the leadership yesterday in several areas was to let's be aggressive in reaching out to our communities, reaching out to the boys and girls, the friends that you have, boys and girls, invite them to Awana, get involved in the ministry of reaching out to your friends. And I think your commander is going to start a ministry here called The Great Shakeup. And it's an awesome opportunity to invite your friends to come to Awana and to hear of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're excited. And I want to share with you this morning a message. If I can find, I think it totally shut down, didn't it? So here we go. We'll start all over again. There we go. And the message is called very simply, I Have a Name. We're going to see a video here in just a second. And it's a video clip from the, actually technically I guess he's my earthly boss. He is the head of Awana International. And he's responsible for all Awana ministries outside the United States. His name is Brian Rhodes, and he's a good friend. And this message, he triggered that in my mind and in my heart. And we're excited about what is happening with Awana around the world. And I'm going to share a little bit of that in just a second, but we're actually going to go to the video, and it talks about children at risk. Oh my, how we live in such a blessed country as Canada. Much of the rest of the world doesn't even come close. So boys and girls, and well, us as adults too, let's not whine and complain too much, because many adults and children around this world do not have the blessing of living here. What'd they do?
Arnold. My name is Alice. My name is Hawa.
Brian Ingoy.
Brian, na wewe sema?
Naitwa Christine Kakai.
My name is Manuel Stambas.
My name is Jude Washeki.
William Nguya.
Kaka kana kwaka oka.
I will always remember the image burned into my mind of that little boy on the busy streets of Delhi, India, as he was doing gymnastics to try to earn money for his family. Or the little girl in Brazil who was selling flowers to try and do the same thing to just meet needs of her family. Or the young boys in Guatemala shining shoes all day, never having the chance to go to school. Not to mention Sunday school or church. We see them, and then they're gone. And I don't even know their names. So I've asked the Lord, how can we reach these kids? Kids that would probably never go to a traditional Awana club. At Awana International, we've started to walk on new ground. With the leader-based strategy, we've figured out a way to train many Awana leaders, hundreds even at a time, and reach out to churches, some of them poor churches, that never before could have Awana through the traditional program. God really is expanding our borders. That's when the earthquake struck in Haiti. Haiti changed my thinking. It changed a lot of things. I saw the earthquake and what God was doing as an example of the priorities that we needed to evaluate. I really had to ask the question, is God allowing us to be part of a new ministry launch where we could work with partnerships with other ministries to meet needs that we've never before been able to be a part of meeting? Not just to rebuild the lives of children in Haiti, but bigger than that, all around the world, in refugee camps, on the streets, in the slums, communities of some of the world's largest cities. Can we help bring refuge to these children, the children that we've never been able to reach? Well, I'm happy to share with you today the new Children at Risk initiative for Awana International. It fits perfectly alongside our leader-based strategy, and it really confirms the direction that God has been leading us over these past couple of years. It opens up many new doors that will allow us to come alongside ministry partners who care for the health and physical needs of children in refugee camps and in slums, that we might bring a longer-term evangelism and discipleship ministry. In Africa alone, we have access right now to over 800,000 children who live in refugee camps or slum communities. 800,000. If we had trained Awana leaders today, we could reach those children. Pastors are pleading with us to come and begin Awana training right away. Around the world, Awana is needed now more than ever.
My name is Nicholas Ucheng, and I'm married, and I have two kids, and I'm a Awana leader, and I'm also a parent. Where we are studying here, the area we are studying here, it's called Kawangware Slums. Mostly when a child wakes up in the morning, they face difficulties. The life they are living, the life is tough. Children are really suffering. It's easier child to get hurt. It's easier child to get a disease that cannot be able to be treated. And this is the kind of situation they're facing every day and now and then. So it's really dangerous. As an Awana leader from my church, we are few, and we cannot be able to reach all the parts of the slums in Kenya. So my desire and my dream is, if many leaders can be able to be trained and be discipled and be able to be equipped and leaders to have the desire also, as I have, to be able to reach the kids, because this is a need, and it's us to make a change. It starts in us.
Nicholas really does have it figured out. It does start with us. It starts with the transformation in our own lives of recognizing the love of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, and then allowing that to be an outpouring of our lives into the lives of others. He and other leaders there in that community are reaching and investing into the lives of those kids because of the love of Jesus Christ that lives in them. For many kids, life in a slum community, it's just that. It's life in the slums. For kids in a refugee camp, the average stay in a refugee camp is 10 years. So I want to invite you. I want to ask you to look beyond the dirt and look beyond the poverty and realize that these children, they have a name. That little boy in India, he has a name. The little girl in Brazil, she has a name. These children in Africa have a name. And God is giving us the opportunity to reach out to them and to share the wonderful good news of the gospel with them. So please, come along with us. Help Awana International to bring refuge to children at risk.
This is Simon Nebo.
Lavenda.
Betty. Teresia, Tandu,
Stacy,
Chege, Trevor, Nanani,
Miska.
Miska, Nanani, wewe.
It's exciting to be part of a ministry that is having an incredible impact, not only here in North America, but literally around the world. Sometime this year, Awana is 61 years old, as far as an organization goes. And sometime this year, the number of churches and ministries using Awana outside of the United States will be, for the first time ever, there will be more churches using Awana outside of the United States than in the United States. We are at about 12,000 churches that are using Awana in the United States. Sometime later this fall, there will be over 12,000 ministries and churches using Awana outside of the United States. And as much as that sounds, wow, that's great, you know, we're excited about that, we also realize that it is a very small drop in a very large bucket. Let me share with you just briefly about what is happening in the country of India. I've had the privilege of being an Awana missionary for 26 years. And in those 26 years, we've had an Awana presence in India. Sometimes it was very few clubs, 10, 15, 20 churches using Awana. I think about the highest that it ever got was somewhere in the order of 75 clubs. 3 years ago, we began the leader-based strategy in India. Now, the leader-based strategy, let me back up for half a second. What we use here in North America, Canada, the United States, we use a resource-based ministry. In other words, Awana is supplying resources to you And we have leader-based ministry right here because of the leaders that are involved in your Awana ministry. But the resources come from headquarters. That is not possible in many countries of our world. Just physically not possible, financially not possible. However, we have turned to a leader-based strategy in which we train leaders. They come for 5 days of training. Not just Saturday, 5 days of training. We haven't implemented the leader-based strategy here in North America yet, because getting people to come for 5 days of training seems to be a bit hard, apparently. And they come for 5 days of training, and then they go back to their local church with what we call club in a box. And it literally is all you need to have an effective children's ministry, an effective Awana ministry in your church. It's all in a box. And using that strategy, God has blessed it. God has blessed it in India and in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and many other countries. We are implementing it as fast as we possibly can in many of the countries. What happened in India? 3 club years ago, with the leader-based strategy, we had about 70, 75 clubs. And that year, we added over 1,000 churches using the Awana ministry. Last year, the second year of leader-based strategy, we again added another 1,000 churches. And sometime this year, we will again add another 1,000 churches. So in 3 years, it has gone from 76 churches. We also have Christian schools now that are using Awana there and some other children's ministries. But over in that time, in less than 3 calendar years, God has seen fit to take the Awana ministry in India from 76 churches to right now just under 3,000 churches. And we're praying that God will allow us to have 3,000 churches. Now, the country has 1 billion people in it, so, or more. And so we've got a lot more work to do. But we are just excited to know that that is exactly what God is doing, not just in India, but like I said, in many of the African countries. And not all the countries around the world have switched from resource-based to the leader-based. Countries like the United Kingdom, England, Australia, a couple of the European countries still are on the resource-based model, and that's fine. It's not a problem at all, but for many, many countries, for many, many children, can you imagine? How many of you are 10 years old? Any 10-year-olds in here? Put your hands up. You're 10 years old. Can you imagine having spent the entire 10 first years of your life in a refugee camp? Interesting, isn't it? We're going to look at Isaiah 9, 6 and verse 7. We probably won't get much into verse 7. This is a passage of scripture that we normally dust off for Christmas. And we get our Christmas cards, and oftentimes this particular verse, 9, 6, is written in it. But as with all of God's word, it's not seasonal. It's applicable no matter what time of day, what time of year. And as Brian talked about not knowing the names of those kids that he had come across, can I challenge you as Awana leaders this year, not only as Awana leaders, but as a congregation? I don't know how David may be able to communicate this to you, but will you commit yourself to knowing the name of all the children that you're responsible for? And as a body of believers, Would you commit yourself to not getting to know the names? I've had a couple of churches make prayer cards of the kids and put their picture on it. Please pray for me. My name is Freddie. And I go to such and such a school. And I'm 8 years old or 9 years old, and hand them out to the congregation. It's a really good idea to be able to connect. But please, get to know the names of the kids. I'm a Cubbies leader. For 32 years of the 35 years I've been in Awana as a leader and as a missionary, I've managed to escape being a Cubbies leader. But for the last three, I've been. And they really are pretty, pretty cute kids. But we've got a whole fresh crop. We just started on Tuesday morning. We've got a whole fresh crop. And half of them, I don't know their names yet. But the couple that are our new challenges, you get to know their names real quick. let's read the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I just stop right there. I think weird sometimes, but as I read that and as I studied that and looked at that, God doesn't need two shoulders to hold up the world. He only needs one. Just, that's free. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Several years ago, I came across a survey, and it was a survey that was conducted amongst the general population. It wasn't done with believers in particular, but just across the general population, basically asking this question: what is the one thing that you want from life or want in life? What is your heart? What are you looking for? And these are the top five that came from that survey. Now, the order, I think, may have shifted a little bit today, but I would suggest that all of them are still the desire of many of your neighbors, most of your neighbors, maybe all of your neighbors, of your neighbor's children. Here we go. Top five things people want it. First of all, they wanted financial stability. Now, that may have moved up one or two spots these days, but people are looking for financial stability. Number four was a sense of purpose. Why am I here? You know, does it all end in the grave? What purpose do I have here? And then a sense of worth or a sense of value. Young people are wondering that. Elderly people are wondering that, and every group in between. A sense of worth, sense of value. Number two was loving relationships. People were desiring, wanting loving relationships. Relationships that weren't broken, that weren't falling apart, that weren't in abusive situations. And then finally, number one, peace of mind. Peace of mind. I would suggest to you that all of those and much more can be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and in the study and understanding of his word. We talked yesterday about having a biblical worldview. All of us, the entire world has a worldview. It's simply how we see the world and how we react or act on that. As believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you have a biblical worldview. But what we're discovering amongst our young people in general, Christian, professing Christian young people, is that they do not or have a very poor worldview. And it is the study and learning, memorization, study, understanding of the Word of God that gives us a biblical worldview. It's as if the Bible is a filter. And so when the world is asking all kinds of questions of me, and it's pouring into my mind and in from various sources and everything else, I need to filter the information that is coming from this Word, not through what the financial experts say, not through what the psychologists say, not through what the government says. I need to filter it through God's Word. And these five desires, if we were to filter them through the Word of God, we would find that God's Word meets and completes those and so much more. And so let's look at the names of God, the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, this passage is looking forward to the coming Messiah, the coming Jesus. And many years later, this was fulfilled, or at least this part of it is fulfilled, his coming. And most of these names are in the process of being fulfilled or will be fulfilled in the days ahead as the Lord returns. And we won't look at all of them this morning for the sake of time. Definitely for the sake of time. But I want to focus on a couple for sure. The first one, in some versions, it's Wonderful Counselor. They put the two words together. I don't know. I like it separate like that. Wonderful Counselor. Who is more wonderful than Jesus Christ? Who is more wonderful than the lovely Lord Jesus? I mean, we have wonderful friends. We talk about wonderful neighbors. We talk about wonderful people. But there is no one that is more wonderful. And one of the things that we do as Awana leaders, one of the privileges we have is not just introducing boys and girls to Jesus Christ, but we have opportunities to have an impact on the home and to introduce moms and dads to the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us on the cross. If you want peace of mind this morning, you're not going to find it in this world. This world is as unpeaceful as it could possibly be. There are wars and rumors of wars, wars ending, wars starting, conflicts here, conflicts there. Praise God, we live in a country where it's relatively peaceful. But regardless, this world is not the place to find peace. Peace, true peace, is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of the cross. In our breaking of bread this morning, we sang several songs and hymns and scripture readings, all talking about the wonder of the sacrifice that God made through Jesus Christ, our Son. Wonderful. And then he is a counselor. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good counselors, Christian counselors, that can help us deal with issues, deal with things in our lives. But the ultimate counselor is Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for our life issues to be dealt with. This past year was a difficult year for Leona and I. And as I struggled with the loss of eyesight, there was a first verse of a hymn that I couldn't get out of my mind. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain, free to all, a cleansing flood flows from Calvary's mountain. And in the midst of, and believe me, there were many days that it was absolute frustration. And I get frustrated. And God would remind me, just stay near the cross. I'll show you the way. Even though you cannot physically see the way, stick to the cross. And many times I would have to come to the cross and to say, God, forgive me for getting my spiritual eyes off the cross and through frustration. And then one other that I'll for the last point this morning, I think. One of the privileges we have, and we sing about a mighty God, what an awesome God, right? But it's the everlasting Father. God, the everlasting Father. Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father. We work with so many children who do not have a male influence in their lives. Their father is non-existent or minimally existent. It's a difficult society we live in for children and adults too. But we have the precious opportunity of wrapping our arms around children and saying, I know it's difficult at home, but there is a Father who will not leave you, an everlasting Father. And Jesus Christ brings that to our lives. And regardless of whether you're an Awana leader or not, you have that kind of knowledge from Scripture, not just in this passage, but especially in the Old Testament, many, many passages where God talks about the fact that He is a father to the fatherless. And we have a privilege of introducing that kind of relationship to the brokenness that surrounds us in our society. And of course, the last one there is the Prince of Peace. And then verse 7 goes on to talk a little bit more about that peace, that the increase of His government and of peace, there shall be no end. Jesus Christ is bringing peace to our lives through a personal relationship with Him. One day He is coming back. Praise God for that. As He comes back, He will bring peace to this world. Scripture tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And He'll usher in a kingdom of peace. And then the other phrase that I would like to take from this verse of Scripture is very simply this. He's going to establish it through David, the kingdom of David, and to order it, and then to establish it with judgment and with justice. As I talk to older children at TNT age, many of them tell me something like this: life's not fair, or it's just not fair, or I don't, you know, it's not fair that he gets this and I don't and everything else. We live in a world that doesn't have a real good judgment at times or justice. But one day, in perfect judgment and in perfect with perfect justice, Jesus Christ is going to rule. May I encourage you as one of the leaders to be strong, be courageous, be willing to get outside the box a little bit. For there are many, many boys and girls within a reasonable area of the chapel here who have never heard of one that can bring peace to their life. They've never heard of judgment and justice. And there are many who, we probably won't be comfortable with them as they come into our buildings. But that's okay, because they need to know Jesus and have that peace of mind that can only come through him. And can I encourage you as a congregation, as a group of believers here this morning, will you pray for these precious leaders? I didn't really check with David, but he could probably use a little more help somewhere, especially if every one of the existing clubbers bring a friend. That will double the size of your ministry this year. But beyond that, above that, these leaders and these children need your prayers. And if somehow you can connect one name that you'll be praying for all year long, a leader's name and a clubber's name, I believe that God will answer your prayers. And I know that you do too. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have a name. You have many names throughout Scripture. That you have recorded for us the names of Jesus. Again, many different names, illustrating just how multifaceted you are in meeting our needs. Thank you that you met our greatest need, that need of a Savior, at the incredible expense of your own Son's death, shedding of blood, burial, and then the power of the resurrection, providing for each one of us in this room opportunity to enter into your family, to be adopted by you, and to take part in all of the blessings, both here on this earth as well as in eternity with you. Father, thank you for doing that. And I pray this morning that in the Awana ministry this year, in the youth ministry this year, other children's ministry, Sunday school, the camping ministries, that through all of those ministries, you will be honored and glorified, and that boys and girls and moms and dads will come to know, love, and serve you in a way that hasn't taken place in this chapel, in this community. May you use us in a way that we've never been used before to have an impact for eternity on the citizens of Charlottetown and beyond. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. In your awesome and wonderful and precious name, amen.